Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's tax season. And all God's people said, ugh. Right? Well, tax season, in essence, it's a time to take an assessment of where we stand financially, at least in relationship to the government, right? How much will you owe, or how much will you get back? I have an organization in California that does my taxes. They specialize in doing pastors' taxes. It's called Stewardship Services Foundation. And the director is Jim Rickard. He has been here to speak several years ago, but I really appreciate Jim and his ministry there. But it's interesting because I send them all my pertinent information. They have this little workbook that you fill out and everything and all your figures. And then you send that in, and then I wait. And I watch, and I wonder, and I watch the mail, and I check the mail every day to see if I'm going to find out where I stand financially in relationship to the government. Well, it's kind of like the matter of our discussion here today. Being watchful for the soon return of the Lord. Because we will one day face a divine accounting. Last week, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, we discussed the importance of being watchful for the soon return of the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 25. We talked about the importance of being watchful for the soon return of the Lord. And verse 13 says, in speaking of the Lord's return, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Verse 14 says, for or because, meaning that watching for the coming of the Lord, verse 14, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also, he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You look at verses 21 and verse 23. And the master said to the faithful servants, well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful over little, you will be set over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Last week, I concluded the message on verses 1 through 13 by giving some suggestions on how to be watchful. In this passage, we learn that faithfulness is the key to watchfulness. That's our take-home thought here today. Faithfulness is the key to watchfulness. As you are watching for the soon's return, the Lord's soon return, how do you do that? We had those suggestions, but one of those matters that I just touched on, said we're going to talk about more next week, is the matter of faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Well, I would define faithfulness as doing the right things consistently over time. Even if or when you are tempted to do otherwise, or even if you don't feel like doing so, it's being reliable, being able to be counted upon. So, don't be a slacker regarding life's responsibilities and all that God has entrusted to your care. You want to live a life of watchfulness? Yes, I want to watch for the soon coming of the Lord. It's not a matter of selling everything and go sitting on a mountain and go, oh Lord, when are you coming? And watch for Him to show up in the eastern sky. That's not what watchfulness is. Watchfulness is a matter of being faithful. God has entrusted to you everything that you have. And you want to live a life of watchfulness? Be prepared. Be ready. Be watchful for the Lord's return and be faithful. Now, we often use the concept of faithfulness when we're talking about a marriage. We talk about, wow, that couple has been married for 50 years. And they have been faithful to their vows toward one another. That's what we're talking about. They're faithful to their vows. They have followed through. They, even through the difficult times, through the challenges, as well as the good times, they've been faithful. It gives us a picture of faithfulness. You think of the employee who is described as that individual is a faithful employee. They're reliable. They show up for work. They come to work on time. They come to work every day. He or she does his or her job with diligence and consistency. They're a faithful employee. So when it comes to being watchful for the Lord's coming, faithfulness is what God desires for you as you wait for Him and watch for His return. All right, so today we're going to talk about factors of faithfulness. Factors of faithfulness. Look at verse 15. To one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then He went away. It's very interesting. The first factor is the Lord entrusts according to ability. As I read this even just this morning, I was like, wow, He gave to them His possessions. In this text, it's a parable, and Jesus is the master. All right, it's an illustration of Jesus is the master, and He's entrusting to His people His possessions. Everything that we have is from God. And He's entrusted it to His servants, His faithful ones. And so, in this context, the 5 talent, the 2 talent individual were the faithful servants. It would be like the faithful in the church. His disciples, if you please. The 1 talent, again, if you look at the context here, Jesus, when He preached, this was the Olivet Discourse, He was preaching to everybody, and there were some of those who were considered the religious elite of the day. They had the form of godliness, but denied the power thereof, right? And so you had these religious elites out there. They would be the 1 talent individuals who came across like, okay, give me what I deserve, but they weren't faithful with it. So the master entrusts according to ability. Now, it's March Madness, right? And think of basketball when you think of March Madness. Even if you're not into basketball, you can't turn a TV on without thinking about basketball, because if you're not watching a basketball game, you're going to see commercials about basketball, all right? You're going to go to the grocery store, and they're going to have, you know, displays of March Madness. Well, let's say, as you're thinking about basketball, that the 6'10" center is entrusted with playing underneath the basket. He's tall. He's the big guy underneath. and he's entrusted with guarding the basket or dunking the ball. He's there. That's his responsibility. Now, the little guys like me, the 5'10 guys that don't weigh very much, they're the ones who are on the perimeter. And they're the ones that call the plays. They shoot the three-pointers. They pass it off. They get it to the guy underneath. The role is different. They've been entrusted by the coach with different responsibilities according to their abilities. You wouldn't expect the short little 5'10 guy to get under the basket and be responsible for guarding a 7-foot guy. You see? Again, entrusted with responsibility according to abilities. Now, in this case, the master in the text here gives talents. That's a form of money to each servant according to what he believed each servant could be trusted with the responsibility to increase that. That was the given. Okay, I'm going to entrust this to you. Now, go and increase it. See what you can do with this. And that's the context of this text. Now, the fact of the matter is, God has entrusted you with all that you have according to what He believes you have ability to increase. God has given you that which He has enabled you to handle and to develop and to grow through. It may be a specific trial or a specific difficulty in life. It may be a difficult class at school or a project at work. He may have entrusted you with a decision regarding finances, a decision regarding a relationship, to manage a relationship, living with an unsaved spouse or an unloving spouse or a difficult child. That is something. Those are things that God entrusts you with. Whatever the situation, God has entrusted that matter to you so as to be faithful with that. And you are able to be faithful because of His grace, His enablement. If He's allowed cancer in your life, His grace is sufficient and He gives you the strength that you need to be faithful through that. If you had an injury or a disability, maybe the loss of a loved one. Again, God's grace is sufficient. What are you going to do with that opportunity that God has entrusted to you? How about no job? Maybe you have a job. It's obvious. Be faithful with that job. But what if you have no job? Well, what do you do with that? How can you be faithful with that? Well, be faithful with that opportunity. In our culture, a 40-hour week is the standard of our work week. So I would encourage you to be faithful in looking for work, volunteering for work, or even working as you have opportunity for 40 hours in the week. Keep track of that. Be faithful to do that. You be faithful with those little things. God can entrust you with greater things. Here's another one that may apply to some of you here. But how about retirement? I mean, some of you may have the goal, I'm going to retire when I'm 50 or whatever it is. You know, I'm going to retire early. And so God has entrusted you with retirement. You've been thinking ahead. What are you going to do with that? Let me tell you, biblically speaking, retirement is not a 10, 20, or 30-year vacation. All right? So think differently about retirement. Retirement is an opportunity for you. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying don't enjoy your retirement. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that when you are retiring, how can you use that opportunity to bring honor and glory to God? It might be a different way for you to think about retirement. Just to serve Him in those years freely without being encumbered by the workaday world. Man. What are you going to do with those retirement years? Are you investing your retirement years wisely for the glory of God? Well, you might say, all right, Pastor, you're talking about God has entrusted me with this class at school, and I'm supposed to be a good steward of it. But man, I'll tell you what, I am over my head. I mean, I'm just, or maybe it's a job that you think, man, God has provided this awesome job, but man, I can't do it. I don't know what I'm doing. It's just beyond me. How can I be a good steward of that? Well, I think that God, even in that situation, gives grace to help you to humbly acknowledge, you know what, God, I am over my head. So I'm at least going to take that one talent, and I'm not going to bury it, but I'm going to invest it and humbly bow out from that and invest it to at least get interest from the bank, so to speak. So even there, I think there are times when we're being challenged, we're being tested, and we maybe have to take a step back. But the point here is, and I just want to reiterate, the master entrusts according to ability. Well, here's another factor. As you are being faithful with whatever he has entrusted to you, you're being watchful for his return. Verse 19, now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Here's the next factor, and that is everyone will give an account to God. Everyone will give an account to God. Another verse, you've heard me speak on this before. So whether 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. I love that verse. God has given you a goal in life. And that is to live to please God. Regardless to what your circumstances are, regardless to what others do or don't do, regardless to how you feel, your goal must be to please God. All right? At home or away, that means dead or alive. At home in the body or away from it. Dead or alive. How do I know that? Look at verse 10. For, or because, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or evil. You are going to stand before God one day and you're going to give an account of how you managed all that God has entrusted to your care. You're going to give an account. Now, I don't know what that's going to be like when you stand before God. But He says that we will stand before Him, and when we do, we're going to give an account. No excuses. You can't stand before God and say, well, man, I would have done a whole lot better if you had only given me more. Or if you had only given me a better wife or a better child. Kids that would just simply behave when I told them to behave. I would have done a whole lot better. I wouldn't have been angry all the time if you hadn't given me. No, God's going to say, wait a minute. I'm not talking about all that stuff. I'm talking about what about you and how you handled what I entrusted to your care. Did you increase what God entrusted to your care, or did you just maintain it or maybe diminish it? The master returned here for the purpose of settling accounts. All right, so spring is upon us. I mean, the forecast for this week is more moderate. We're looking forward to that and going to have some sunny days and so on. So let's use that as an illustration in this context. Let's say you work for a farmer and you're given a packet of bean seeds, all right, beans to plant. And so you would think the person who gets five packets would be expected to plant those and be able to produce more produce, right? Man, he might have bushels of beans to bring in. Let's say 10. Wow. Well, the next guy was only given two packets of beans. So he plants them and it just stands to reason that he only had two packets of beans, but he produced four baskets of beans. But the guy with the one packet of beans, he says, man, can't do much with this. So he just goes over to the drawer and pitches the beans, packet of beans in the drawer. Well, you aren't going to grow too many beans in a drawer. That's what you have here. That's a picture of what you have. You're not going to have something to give back if you don't give attention to that which has been entrusted to your care. Look at verse 19. Again, you're asking, what am I doing with the seeds that have been given to me, with whatever it is that has been given to me? After a long time, verse 19, the master of those servants came, settled accounts with them. Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. Verse 22, Master, you've delivered me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Here's the factor that I want to refer to. And that is, faith is at the heart of faithfulness. Faith is at the heart of faithfulness. The faithful servants were faithful because they had faith. They believed in their master. First of all, they believed that their master would return. And if you believe that the master, if you believe that the Lord is going to return, then you will be faithful with the opportunities that he has entrusted to your care. I believe he's going to return. So I'm going to be faithful with what he has entrusted into my care. Upon the master's return, they discovered that the master was not a hard man after all. They had faith that he would treat them fairly. Upon the Lord's return, you know, you believe, you have faith in the fact that he will reward you upon his return. And their faith in the master proved true. The master rewarded the 5-talent servant with an extra packet from the unfaithful servant. The unfaithful servant, however, he believed the master to be a hard man, reaping where he did not sow, gathering where he did not scatter seed. Now, I'm here to tell you, in this context, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, the legalists of the day, the religious elite, so to speak. And this was their attitude. Who does he think he is? I don't have to give an account to him. He's a hard man. It reflected on the character of Christ. And this one-talent servant, his attitude reflected on the character of the master. It was an indictment against the master. Very well could have been that the unfaithful servant had been given just 1 talent because he had not been faithful with other things that had been entrusted to his care. He had not been faithful in the little things even prior to this opportunity. So the unfaithful servant buried his talent. And look at verse 25. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. It's interesting to note that fear can be a tremendous hindrance to faithfulness. Now, there is risk to any investment. If you plant seeds, you understand, you know, there's some risk. We might get a frost before they're strong enough. It might kill them out. We might get too much rain, or we might not get enough rain. There's some risk in investment when it comes to money. There's some risk in stepping out in faithfulness, using your abilities of investing to the glory of God. Now, that being said, some people have equated investing in the stock market like gambling. And I think a major difference is the matter of risk. I don't know about you, but my Edward Jones agent points out levels of risk. He'll say, this is a low-risk investment, or you know, if you're investing in a 401k or whatever it is, this is low risk, or this is a medium to high risk, or this is aggressive risk. And so he'll coach you. And oftentimes my agent will ask me, he'll say, so Dale, are you comfortable with your level of risk at this time? Because there's some risk involved. Now, in gambling, there's like through the roof risk. You know, you have you're taking a huge risk. Any kind of investment is a risk. But in gambling, your risk is, I mean, how do you think casinos get so ornate and elaborate? It's because people lose a lot of money so they can build their elaborate casinos. Proverbs warns against get-rich-quick schemes. So we're talking about, yes, it takes some risk to make some investments, but don't allow fear to keep you from investing in what God has entrusted to your care. Giving it time, giving it attention. My investments have not been lost at a loss over time. They say the best thing you can do is be patient and wait, and your investments will increase. But fear can keep you from investing in that which has been entrusted to you. That's what the unfaithful servant did. Note that unfaithfulness is tantamount to being wicked and lazy. He simply buried his talent. It was like putting a packet of seeds in the drawer. That wouldn't take much effort. Whereas it would take effort to plant seeds and then harvest the crop. Unfaithfulness is tantamount to being wicked and lazy. Also note that being wicked and lazy is simply due to neglect. Look at verse 18. But he who had received the one talent and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. He was wicked because he was the only one who he was thinking about. He was thinking about himself. He was lazy because he didn't want to put forth any effort on behalf of someone else. If I invest in this one talent and it increases, the master's a hard man, he's just going to take it away from me anyway. And so he just neglected it. It's interesting also to note in verses 28 to 30 that neglect resulted in judgment. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the wicked servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Eternal, painful, languishing judgment is biblical, and it is taught by Jesus right here in this text. By Jesus himself. It's not a man-made religious element just to simply scare people into living a better life. It's a matter to consider regarding the Lord's soon return in light of faithfulness. Again, I think it's a good question to say, would you like to be caught doing what you're doing when the Lord returns? We don't know when that will be. And you don't want to be caught neglecting what God has entrusted to your care. Look at verses 21 and 23. Identical in their wording. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So take the talent from him, verse 28, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. So here's another factor, and that is faithfulness is rewarded. Faithfulness is rewarded. Both the 5-talent and the 2-talent servants were rewarded by a commendation and an invitation to enter into the joy of their master. Wow. Man. They both increased what the master entrusted to them. They didn't merely maintain it. They didn't diminish it. And they heard as a result, well done, good and faithful servants. And they and were entrusted with more along with the joy of their master. So again, how do you increase that which God, your master, has entrusted to you? How do you increase that? God has entrusted to you, fill in the blank. You increase it by faithfulness. Give attention to whatever God has entrusted to you, listen, according to priority. All right? God has entrusted to you your relationship with Him. That is priority number one. And if that is your first and foremost priority, when you wake up in the morning, you should be thinking, how am I going to give God priority today? I need to spend some time with Him in His Word, or listening to His Word, reading His Word, spending time studying His Word, memorizing His Word, meditating upon His Word. Spend time in prayer. If you know, if you're going to be a faithful servant, that God has entrusted that to you, be faithful with your relationship with Him. Give attention to your relationship with Him. If you're married, then your relationship with your spouse should get number one priority in regards to earthly relationships. Your spouse is number one priority for you. You give attention to your spouse. You're not going to neglect your spouse. You're not going to forget your spouse. You're going to give priority attention to your spouse. She's number one earthly, or he, your spouse, is number one earthly priority. And so you're going to prefer your spouse over any other, anything else, or anyone else. That's faithfulness, right? How about your children? If you have children, you're then going to, you know that your children have been entrusted to you, regardless to who they are. If they're your children, they're your children. You are to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's a priority. And you must do that. You can't let the church do that. You can't let the school do that. You can't let the government do that. You have that responsibility. And then church, your ministry, and then work, and then possessions, and then your personal time or play time. You see, faithfulness in all of these matters according to priority. That's what God requires in order to be watchful for His soon return. Now, you've heard me say several times, according to priority. Give attention to what God has entrusted to you according to priority. I say that because someone might say, well, I've got this car here. Man, I've got to really give this car attention. I got to spend all my time taking care of this car because God has entrusted this car to me. And I got to be a good steward. I got to manage this well. Or maybe it's a business. Man, God has entrusted this business to me, so I got to work all the time so as to make sure that this business is a success. And everybody else needs to understand that that's my priority. No! If you're doing that to the neglect of your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse, or even your time and your relationship with your children, then you got things out of whack. Give attention to those things according to priority. I hope that's helpful. Because I hear so often, oh, I just didn't have time to spend time with God. In counseling, oftentimes I'll say, when was the last time you read your Bible? Last week. Okay. When was the time before that? You know, it's like, wait a minute. If you want help with this, what we're going to do is we're going to spend time helping you make this your relationship with God, which God has entrusted to you, a priority in your life. Because seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well. Right? So that's why I say according to priority. Verse 29. For everyone who has will be given more. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Here's the final factor. And that is, if you are faithful with little things, you will be faithful with greater things. If you're faithful with the little things, you're going to be faithful with greater things. The 10th talent person was given the extra talent of the wicked, lazy servant. Why? Because it would be tempting to say, wait a minute, he already has 10, why should he get another one? Right? That's our thinking. Well, give it to the two-talent guy who got 4. At least, you know, he'll at least have half of what the other guy has. Luke 16:10 says, One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest with a very little is also dishonest in much. The point being that you need to be faithful by giving attention to what God has entrusted to you. How can you be faithful? Give attention according to priority to what God has entrusted you. Don't grieve over what you wish you had or what you think you deserve. Don't become jealous because someone else has more. Simply be faithful and trust God for any measure of things that may be greater. He is the blesser. He is the one who blesses you with whatever you have. So trust Him. And when you have an opportunity, whatever that opportunity is, when you have an opportunity, be faithful. Be faithful. When an opportunity comes your way, whether it's great or small, be faithful. The question is, are you being faithful? Are you being faithful to the Lord in your walk with Him? Last week I talked about one of the things that I've just so often missed in my relationship with God is enjoying Him. It's not a check mark where, okay, I had my devotions today, so I've given priority attention to that. Now I got to get on to the other, something else, you know. I want to enjoy my relationship with God. Man, I have the privilege of spending time with God. And when you start thinking of it like that, it becomes a delightful priority. And His commands are not burdensome. And you desire to live in purity. You desire to live in love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. You look forward to that. And that, God, that's what I want to do, to bring glory to Your name. You want to be faithful in Your witness. Do you want to be faithful in Your witness? You know, some people have said, what is your evangelistic program at your church? What's the evangelistic program in your church? Here it is. And that's you, the faithful ones, reaching out and being a witness and a testimony to other people. That's how you do that. That's how we win people to Christ, is to reach out to others personally and individual. And I, as a pastor, need to do that. And you need to be faithful in doing that as well. God has entrusted the matter of our witness to us. Let's be faithful in that. If you're married, be faithful to your spouse. Preferring your spouse over everyone else and everything else. You have children. Are you faithful to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord? Are you faithful in ministry, doing your part in the ministry of FBC? Are you faithful at work? Are you being God's kind of employer or God's kind of employee? Are you faithful? It should be an arresting thought as you go through. We're looking for the soon coming of the Lord. I don't know when that's going to be. But how do we watchful? How do we be ready? He tells us right here very clearly, be faithful. Be faithful with all that I've entrusted to your care. And do so to His glory. Let's pray and ask God's help. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this passage of Scripture. It's just so helpful for us to evaluate our lives in light of Your soon return. We don't know when that will be. It could be today. But the question is, are we faithful? With heads bowed and eyes closed, you've heard the word faithful an awful lot here today. I hope it sticks with you. But it's also a point of examination. Are you being faithful according to priority? If you're here today, I just want to encourage you to think through your relationship with God according to priorities and how God may have spoken to you through His word here today regarding the matter of faithfulness. We'd like everyone to fill out a connection card. You can fill that out from the pew in front of you or on YouVersion or from our church website. Just fill out a card. And if you'd like to make a commitment concerning faithfulness or ask a, ask for prayer concerning an area of faithfulness in your life to maybe grow in your relationship with God, or ask God wisdom and prayer from others for bringing your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It's good to be praying for one another. If there's something personal and private, check for pastors only on the box, and the pastors will be praying for you. I understand there's some things that are private that way, but you want prayer. But God wants us to be faithful. So I encourage you to keep that on your mind. You can place the connection card in the offering. We're going to take that in just a moment. But again, be faithful. That would be one of what I would consider the little things in your walk with the Lord and in ministry, is be faithful to give faithfully to the Lord. And so we're going to take an offering here in a bit, and that's just another way to put into practice what we're talking about here. And I believe it's an area of which you'll give an account before God regarding. So ask for His help in that. And then Jeremy's going to, when he has a stand here in just a moment, if you'd like someone to pray with you, just slip out quietly. I'll be down front here. We'll have someone take you aside and pray with you about these things, or I'll be in the back after the service. We can talk then as well. Father, continue to work in our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.